And please pray with me. Loving God, we know that sometimes you call us to rest, to have Sabbath, and yet sometimes that is difficult for us to do. Lord, give us hearts that yearn for rest so that we know and trust in you first, so that we can be rejuvenated and restored to continue to serve your church and your people. And may the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many of you, when you go on vacation, you get back from vacation, you're going, man, I need a vacation from my vacation. Does that ever happen? Yeah. I felt like that after spending a couple days with my family at the wedding, that I needed a vacation from my vacation. You know, if I'm being honest, though, I haven't always been a strong advocate for vacation. For the longest time, I just felt like I had to keep doing, that I had to, you know, if I didn't do this, then nobody else was going to do it, so I got to get it done, and so I just got to get it done, and I don't need a break. I can rest when I'm dead. I'm just going to go ahead and do. And so for the longest time, I never understood the value of taking a rest. It wasn't until I went on internship, and I served a church, very small church in Greenville, Michigan, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my supervisor said, Rosie, if you don't take a break, who else is going to grant that for you? Because as long as you continue to do, people are going to continue to ask, and then you never get a break. And that's not healthy for anyone. So you need to make sure you take a stern day off. Don't answer email. Don't make a phone call. Take a day off, at least one day a week. And so I learned the value of taking Sabbath rest. And if you read my July article for the Light, you probably saw my article about Sabbath. And I try to honor some of those things, but I still sometimes struggle with it. I'm like, oh, it'll just take me a few minutes to answer that email. Oh, it'll just take a second to make that phone call. And I still struggle with it to this day, but I'm getting a lot better. So in this passage for today, it's very clear that all Jesus wanted to do was take a break. Okay, and he literally says, come on, let's go. Let's go and rest, he says. And there are many places in scripture when he just wanted to retreat by himself, when he goes to pray, when he just needs a moment of silence. And yet everyone knew who he was. It's kind of like if a celebrity, you know, comes into a place and they just get inundated with people no matter where they are and what they're doing, right? It's kind of like the paparazzi. Right? So that's kind of what Jesus was doing in all of these cities. He's going from place to place. And of course, he's seeing all these people who are in need of healing and needs to just touch the fringe of his cloak. And then they'll be healed. They're just convinced of that. And yet all Jesus wants is just to sit down and, you know, maybe have some chai tea and just kind of get away from the world. And yet he doesn't. He makes time for those who are in need, showing the compassion that he has for people. You know, it's very easy in today's world to sort of want to sit on the sidelines when bad things are happening. We look at the stuff in our media and our social media, and we see bad things happen, and we go, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray about that. Yeah. I'm just going to pray about it, and then you never do. Or you say you're going to do something and then you never do it. Well, I remember several years ago when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, and I was living in Texas at the time, and this was before I went to seminary, and I remember just feeling so overwhelmed with emotion, watching the people who were fleeing their homes and trying to squeeze into that Superdome and just buses that were leaving New Orleans and bringing people to Texas where I was living. And so I was like, I gotta do something. I have to do, I knew I couldn't take off of work to go and help those people, but I could make a phone call and talk to people in my church. So I did. I called my church council president. I said, listen, we've got to help these people. Maybe we just get a couple apartments that the church will pay the rent on for a year, and then we maybe furnish it. Can we do that for these people? And after several months of discussion, yes, it finally came to fruition. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm just saying that I did something. I did something. I took action. And sometimes that is the hardest part, when we see something bad, doing something for someone else. Even though I may have needed rest in that moment, even though I may have just needed to take a pause, I was moved to action. And I can't take credit for that, because I believe God was present in that decision in my church council, even though all it took was a phone call to my council president, and then we just started conversations about things. You know, I think sometimes that's where we get stuck. You know, we fail to see the connection between taking a rest and then showing compassion. So sometimes, yes, it is important, absolutely, everyone needs a moment of rest to just breathe for a few minutes and just to be reminded of whose you are and the person who has claimed you in Christ. And so what is it that moved me to action when I made that phone call, and what is it that moves you to action? It is the receiving of the love and grace received in sacrament. And it is certainly when we continue to learn and grow in Christ through Bible study and worship. And I believe that Christ moves through that, and the Spirit activates in us to do something. So there are times when compassion is needed in certain situations. And sometimes God may say, you know what, you're not going to rest today, you'll rest tomorrow. But for now, I need you to do this. I need you to make that phone call. I need you to step out on faith and trust that I'm going to be present in that. And sometimes that is a big act of faith. And I don't need to tell you that, you know, right now our nation is fairly divided. You know, there's a lot of contention going on, particularly in our politics. And I think it's really difficult sometimes to discern what is good from the bad. And, you know, if I'm being honest, I don't always understand that. You know, I'd love to go out and protest sometimes with some people, but I always wonder, am I going to be on the right side? Is this a trustworthy organization? Is this a person that I should put my faith and trust in? And sometimes we never know. We don't know the answer to that. So what the very definition of faith, though, is what? It is a trust, right? When you put your trust into Christ Jesus, I believe that God helps us to find those places when we need to engage, and also those to follow. Of course, in this scripture passage, it is Jesus himself who is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. You know, it's no accident that that it's a shepherd's hook that leads people, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I have to be drug. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, doing the right thing and making certain decisions, even though I may not want to do it, sometimes I feel like I have to be drug to do it. All right, I'll do that, even though you may not want to, right? You know, I just a couple of days ago, when I had some friends here in town that were visiting from Florida, and I just wanted to chill in my house with them and play board games, and because I never have a chance to really play board games, because, you know, Sassy hasn't learned to do that yet. So, you know, so all I could do is to sort of sit and color or read a book or watch TV. It kind of gets boring. So I was excited that I had someone to play board games with. And sure enough, here comes one of my goddaughters, and she says, Rosie, I got some questions about church and God. And I'm like, no, I want to play board games. I don't want to talk about church for today. But of course, I couldn't say that. And I said, okay, you want to sit down now? You want to talk now? And she had just a barrage of questions, and I'm so glad that we had that conversation. Because, you know, she's going into eighth grade this year, and she's still trying to figure out her place in this world and who God is and how God speaks to her and how to listen for God in her life. She has some really good questions for an eighth grader. And I was so blessed that I took that moment, instead of playing board games, to answer those questions. And so, yeah, it was one of those moments when I felt like the crook of that shepherd's hook was like, come on, you're going to have that conversation with her. And sometimes that's how it is. And so I want you to think of it as a big wheel, okay? You get nourished by the sacrament that then allows you to trust in God, which gives compassion, which then turns into action, right? And then you come back and repeat. Sacrament, trust, follow, then you have compassion, and then it starts all over, action, and then it starts all over again. It's like one big wheel that just continues to thrive and run through your entire life. And probably the most important part is the trust part, right? Because let's face it, all of us struggle sometimes to trust in certain things. But the one thing that we know we can count on above all else is that God is fully present in that meal, and God is fully present here in church. And when we trust and put our faith in that, then the compassion sort of exudes from us. It should be pouring out of our pores, in essence, so that we can then move that to action. And that's what God's desire for us is. Now, over the next 3 weeks, actually, I really detest how this lines up in the lectionary. But for the next 3 weeks, I'll be preaching on the bread of life, and because that's this the theme. They use all three of the gospels to talk about the bread of life, and I'm going to talk about the importance of that meal, and I'll go into specifics because I'm going to make it into like a little bit of a series thing. But it starts with the meal. But you first have to make the decision to receive it. And I'm not talking about just coming forward and holding out your hand. I'm not talking about that. That's an action, right? But do you actually think about what you are receiving? That's the question. I'm going to focus on that in the next 3 weeks. That's just a little foreshadow. But anyway, the compassion that Jesus shows here is not by accident. It is designed to show us the importance of all of those things. Rest, and sometimes you have to delay that to show compassion, and then that moves us to action. That's exactly what Jesus did. And then we follow Jesus wherever he goes. And sometimes that leader is you. I'm gonna say that again. Sometimes that leader, that shepherd, is you. How do I know that? Pretty much everyone here is involved in some sort of ministry in this church. I'm looking around. I can't think of, pretty much everyone here has been involved, either has been or will be or is involved in some sort of ministry of this church. Do you see yourself as a shepherd? Maybe not, but you are. You are leading others by your example. There are some that are looking to you for leadership in that particular role. Doesn't that make you a shepherd? Yes. And so I want to encourage you all this week to carry your crook high. And there may be some in your life that you got to use that the end of that crook. Come on, let's go. Let's go to this ministry meeting. Come on, let's go to church. We need to go. Come on, let's go to Bible study. You understand? Why is that important? Because Jesus first showed compassion to us. We, in turn, receive that moves us to action, and then that moves us back in circular motion back here to worship. My brothers and sisters, I'm not the only shepherd of this church. We are all shepherds for a weary world who needs to sometimes be drug out of their stagnant lives to be stirred to compassionate action. And so I encourage you this week and always, be willing to lift up your crook. Be willing to be that shepherd for others. Because when we do, we receive abundance upon abundance of grace and love. That's what God desires for us all. Lift up your crook, my brothers and sisters, and be a shepherd today. Amen.